Welcome to another time of abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by the new and living way consecrated for us into the life within the veil. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith as we hear the word of righteousness through God's servant, Pastor Emeka Egwuchukwu.
Thank you for a blessing that you have designed for to come to someone today. Thank you because none of us will live here without that which you have prepared for us. Thank you, Father. We receive with thanksgiving and give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We may be seated for a while.
There's a presence here. Even a presence in your midst. For there's a presence that I have brought to you. There's a presence I've exposed you to. There's a presence. A presence. Not the usual presence. But there is a presence. As it has the presence. Avigenos and Isios den Zokavensios the presence. It's a presence here. Even a manna, even of your chief shepherd, even a manna, for he is the custodian of presences. He is the custodian of all the presences of his God. And there is a presence that he has been authorized even to bring to bear even upon you today. For there is a presence, a door. A door of presence. A presence that's a door, even that you must do well to enter. Take advantage of this unique presence that even the Lord, even the chief shepherd, yea, the door to the sheep has been authorized to manifest over you. For there is this presence to usher you even into a new expression, yea, another expression Another expression of life. Another expression of life. Another expression of life. Even life that is found amidst beings. Amidst There's a presence from the divine. There's a presence from the divine. A divining presence. Even over you. A presence that you should take advantage of. Yeah, it's a door. It is a door that you should enter. It's a door that you should enter. It's a door that you should enter. A door that you should enter and stay. Enter and stay. Enter and prosper. A door of entrance. Even to a new realm of reasoning. A new realm of reasoning. A new realm of reasoning. A new realm of consideration. A new realm of consideration. It's a door over you. It's a door that the chief shepherd has been authorized to manifest as a custodian of the presences of God. This presence. Take advantage of this presence. Walk through this door. Walk through this door. Prosper even in this presence. Prosper in this presence. It will be with you for a while. Prosper with this presence. Be used to it. Do not offend it. Understand it. Yeah. Traffic with it. Yeah. Keep it. Keep it. Receive wisdom for to keep it. For you need to keep this presence. For from this presence I will churn out evil resources. Even my resources. Even my resources. That you may be even a wielder of this presence. It's a presence that you should carry. Not just one that you should enter. But one that you should wield. So master this presence. Master this presence and live here, says the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. I give you praise. I give you glory. I ask that you will help me in this brief moment as I share your word with your people. I ask for the Spirit of the mouth. Utterance be given to me. That I will make known even your word the way you will have me do this morning. I yield to you my spirit, soul, and body. I ask that you will inspire me today. Anoint me afresh to bring forth as your oracle. And I pray for everyone that understanding will be given to all that is here. And those that will listen to this message even after now in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, let's go to the scriptures. Let me just say this so that you don't, I follow the Spirit in things like this. I know initially where the plan was to, so that we'll finish the service. That's where we would have gone to after the preaching before they come in. But I just felt in my spirit, they need to be here so that they can sit down and hear God's word also, because they need this. All of us need it, but they need it as they are starting this union. They need what I am going to be saying right now, as much as every one of us needs it, but they need it even much more. Amen. 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 You know, the reason why I said you need it even much more is the fact that, you see, I always say this, that marriage is a warfare. And until you understand that, you will not be able to fight accurately. You can just use it anyhow or use it, you know, but it's a warfare. Why I say it's a warfare is that there is someone who does not want you to succeed in marriage. And that's the devil. Because he understands what marriage is. He understands the eternal consequences of marriage. Because marriage has eternal consequence. You know, when the Bible said, for this reason, amen. For this reason shall a man leave his father and his mother and be joined together with his wife and both shall become one flesh. Now when he said, for this reason, the reason is more eternal than temporal. The reason is more eternal than temporal. Why I say it's more eternal than temporal? Even though what you're doing in the present time is what is going to be reckoned for you in eternity is more eternal. It has a more eternal consequence than even now, because what you're going to become in eternity, whether you like it or not, eternity is real. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. What did I say?
Eternity is real.
Eternity is eternity. It's not time. The best you live here on earth, that you lived very well, you lived 120. But eternity does not have an end. And then they are just giving you a window of opportunity in time to record something for eternity. And the marriage is an opportunity given to you, or a gift. I call it a gift. Marriage is a gift. Amen.
Amen.
Marriage is a gift. It's a gift that was given to man. It was God who gave it to man, and God had a reason. That's why I say for this reason. It's a gift given to man, and it's a gift given to man to help man. Now, when I say man, mankind, both man and the woman, to help you record, or if I use the word of my pastor, Pastor Tayo, archive a good conversation in eternity. I will not forget my mom. My mom, my mom and my dad, they had a very wonderful marriage. Why I'm able to manage my home, where I'm able to, I learned. I always say this. I never saw my mom and my dad argue for once till I left the home. I never saw them argue. I never saw my dad and my mom. I never saw my dad raise his voice, talk less his hands of my mom. What I saw was two of them, ready to forgive, ready to apologize. I've seen my dad apologize, to my mom. I saw my mom apologize to my dad. And I loved their conversation in marriage. And I made up my mind, Lord, I want my own marriage to be like this. Now, I just remembered how, just to buttress what I'm saying, I remember when my dad passed on. My dad passed on, and then my mom, a widow. Of course, she had already finished giving birth, and we are all grown, and she had, she should be in her 60s then. And then after my dad passed on, she still stayed quite a long time, over a decade, I think almost two, before she also passed on. But I remember what she said to my elder sister. My elder sister, actually, the husband passed on very early, because those things can happen. Nobody says things like that cannot happen. And then her husband passed on early. She was just young. She was in her late 30s when the husband passed on. And then I remember what my mom told her. My mom told her, he said, for her, that's my mom, she had done the will of God. That's what the word she used. She has done the will of God in her marriage. And then told her, you have to ask yourself if you did the will of God in your marriage. Then I was not married. I took note of that. That was the first time I knew that marriage was actually meant for, to be used to do the will of God. It was from my mom's mouth. That was the first time I knew that marriage was not meant to be used selfishly. It's not about you. It's about you doing the will of God. So when I say that it is a gift, it's a gift given to man to do the will. And you remember what the scripture says in the book of Hebrews? It said you have need of patience so that after you have done the will of God. So there is a will that has to be done in marriage. Now, not many actually sit down to ask, what is the will of God that needs to be done in this marriage? Because you see, anytime you do the will of God in your marriage, you live. When I say live, I'm not just talking about longevity of life. Your soul appreciates. Anytime you do the will of God, there is a way your soul will appreciate in life. Now, just using my mom as an excuse, because I learned quite a lot from her. She taught me God's word. My dad also did, but much more her, because she was always at home and would take the Bible. Proverbs was our scriptures. Amen. No wonder I'm very wise, you know. It was Proverbs. She drilled me with Proverbs. You know, just using her as an example, I could see a woman, by the time she was, you know, there was a point in her life. I was not just observing her, I was observing her walk. When you hear me sometimes say, some people might not have our doctrine of salvation of the soul, but the Lord works that somehow, how he does that, how he arranges that situation to work out that in the life of some, I don't understand. I think also it's also, you know, they say, the meek will he guide in the way. The meek will he teach. He will beautify. The meek will he guide in the way, in judgment.
Will he teach?
He will teach them. So the teaching there is not, it's not basically precept. It's lying. The meek, he will teach lying. And I saw her conversation with the Lord. At some point in her life, I could tell she has an audience with the Lord. I remember one testimony she shared with us. She was already aged, and she took it upon herself after my dad had gone. She was a deaconess in church. My dad was a deacon. After my dad was gone, you know, she just wanted to, okay, what she was going to engage herself with was to go and serve in children's department, you know, as aged. But she stayed in children's department. By then, her sight was already being affected. She was using glasses. I think she had an injury that affected her eyes. So she was using glasses. And then she said one day, she just spoke to the Lord and told the Lord, he said, I'm going to be teaching these children and I need to see to be able to teach them. So you have to remove whatever it is that is an impediment in my eyes. She had had it for a while, but she just spoke to the Lord, say, I'm taking up this task. There's no way I'll be able to do it effectively without having my sight. I need my sight. She didn't pray that prayer twice. She didn't pray that prayer twice. The next day, everything cleared. She had an audience with the Lord. There were certain instances I could tell. She would just tell me, this is how this thing is going to turn out. I've spoken to the Lord about it. And that's how it's actually going to turn out. There was something that happened, and she told me, he said, this thing that happened is not going to happen again, because the Lord has spoken to me that this is the situation going forward. And it was just exactly like that. She had a walk. She had an audience with the Lord. Now, why was she able to come to that point? Why was she able to get to that point in her walk with God? She walked consistently doing the will of God. So let me say this to you. Marriage is a gift. It's a gift to you, for you not to use it on yourselves alone, but in it, the will of God has to be done. Now, let me say this, because I know some of us are not married. Not only marriage, everything, relationship with one another as brethren, is also a gift for us to do the will of God. In the place of work, is also an opportunity for you to do the will of God. In everything that you are involved in, is an opportunity for you to do the will of God. Now, in doing the will of God, you appreciate. So that appreciation, you can see it in the person's, the quality of work that grants the person access and audience with the Lord. And you can choose to use it to do whatever you see in the social media or whatever you see on the soap opera or whatever you perceive there, you know, because there are from many places you can learn. You can choose to do it that way. And then you will, at the end of the day, discover that actually this thing, which was meant to be, now this is the way I look at it. What if the Lord has chosen that this should be used for his will and is not used for his will, this thing becomes, what will I call it? I'm trying to look for a good word for it. Whatever was designed for, to be used for the will of God and is not used for the will of God, what will you call that? Somebody say cause, useless, redundant. Is that thing, you will discover emptiness in it. You will discover you will not be fulfilled. But it's shocking. But it's God who gave it. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying.
Yes, sir.
You know, God is the one who also calls us to the ministry. Am I not? Am I saying the truth? But you know, I can use ministry to do the will of God.
Yeah.
Because there's a will of God to be done in ministry. But I can also use ministry to do my own will. I can use ministry to pursue my ambition, my earthly ambition. I can use ministry to pursue my dreams. Now, if I do that, what will you see? Emptiness. Emptiness. That thing you will see how few, the level of futility and emptiness that you will discover in it. Because it's actually not doing what it was designed for in the first place. So is marriage. Listen to me. It's first of all to do the will of God. So somebody will ask me, now what is the will of God? The will of God is love. The will of God is to love. The will of God is for you to love. To love one another unconditionally. Can we say it together? Jesus said, this is my commandment that you should love one another even as I have loved you. You know? There's no need saying love one another. Pastor Ken, love Pastor Tayo because you've been friends from school. With jail. No, where the test your love capacity, your love capability is your wife. What do they say? They say charity begins from where? You know, some people have left charity that begins from home and have gone for charity that... Amen. Amen. I think we should take the interpretation, sir.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Petty frotted. Opiatinat of Fredo Fernos Ketela brand of Velitinist Sationa Bar Katina. Menetelia Tovenos to Viet and Andiomatanian to love. Missovera de Latian to love. Macriando Lemonoti unto love, Roboroda Latelli unto love. For I am love. I am love. I am love who gave a commandment to love. I am love who stretched forth a string, even a rope, to lead you to me, even that rope of love. I am love. My name is love. I dwell in love. I express in love. I move in love and I live in love. Therefore, I stretch forth a commandment. I stretch forth a doorway. I stretch forth a path that would lead you to me, even the pathway of love, even the pathway of love, even the pathway that will build you up to me, even the path of love, even the path of love, even the law of commandment, the law of commandment, which many, many, many have heard away from, have made shipwreck of their journey. They've heard away from this commandment, have made a shipwreck of their journey. For you see, this commandment is not optional. It's not an optional commandment. It's a commandment of those who would journey to me. It's a commandment embedded even in our commandment of faith. For it is love, love, love. Oh, love embedded in faith. For it is a faith that worketh by love. It's a faith that worketh by love. For you see, my commandment for you to love is not because of what the other person has done or what the other person would do. It's because I gave you a command. I gave you a command, and I am on hand even to help you and see you through this commandment. Love. Love, 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 love. For hidden inside love is high prosperity. Hidden inside love is high prosperity. For you see, your soul will prosper more when your soul engages in love. Your soul would appreciate when he engages in love. Oh, love, love. For I see the enemy attacking even the commandment of love. Even the adversary, even the one who hates your soul, he brings reasons. He brings reasons for you not to love. He brings reason for you to walk even out of the spirit. For you see, when you walk in love, you are walking in the spirit. He brings reasons for you to walk. There'll be many reasons that he paints to your heart. There'll be many reasons he gives you not to love. Oh, but I'm bringing again, even upon my church, even upon my people, even a strong atmosphere of love, a strong atmosphere of the spirit. For you see, the atmosphere of love is a spiritual atmosphere. It's an atmosphere of the spirit. It's an atmosphere of increase. It's an atmosphere of change. 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 Husband, love your wife. Brethren, love one another. For you see, this is the commandment, even that great commandment that I give unto you, that you love one another. For he that loveth his brother would remain in life, will remain in life. Don't walk out of love. When you walk out of love, you walk into debt. Come to the regions of love. Come prosper in this love commandment. For it is not grievous. It is not grievous. It is not grievous. Do not listen to the lie of the adversary. It is not grievous. It is not your brother that is at fault. It is the enemy painting a lie. Love is my command. Love is my stretch. Even the stretching forth of my hand even to you, for you to come to me. Come into love and you will find a journey back to me. Come into love and you will land even in the path, even the path that will land you into me. Love. Love. Love is my ladder from you to me. Love is your ladder that you will climb from you even unto me, said the Lord Jesus.
So he said, this is my commandment, that you love one another. So how do you know the will of God? It is given in his commandments. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now, I remember I was teaching, I think that was last Sunday or one of the teachings, I said that what is asking us for in the New Testament is not loving our neighbor as ourselves. Amen. Are we together? It's beyond just the loving your neighbor as yourself. It's love your brother as I have loved you. Amen. That you love one another as I have loved you. So I have to discover how he loved me. That is why is if you call it the new kind of love, we call it new kind of love in New Testament, because it's an unveiling. It has to be unveiled to you how he has loved you. I don't think you have that capacity to love like that. It has to be revealed. It has to be unveiled. Now, one of the reasons why I call it, I say it has to be unveiled is that because you have to climb from love to love to love to love. Amen. Amen. You have to do love. All all the will of God is love. Because all the commandments are summed up in this. All the commandments, whatever you call commandment, they are summed up in this one. Love. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your strength, with all your might, with all your... And then the second, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, Jesus was talking to the Jews. But when he turned to the disciples, he said, this is my commandment, which I'm giving to you, that you love one another, not as neighbors. Yeah. Hey. Because Jesus didn't love you as neighbor. Did he love you as neighbor? If he loved you as neighbor, then he wouldn't have gone to the cross for you. He loved you exactly the way the Father loves you. So he had to align with the love of the Father. Amen. He had to align with the love of the Father, for God so loved the world that he gave. That he gave. So in marriage, your first, you know, we say love, you love one another as I have loved you. Where they will first of all test whether you can really love like that is in marriage. You know, as brothers, we can love one another because we, you know, we are guys, you know. I remember when I got married, something happened to me and that was the first realization of, boy, you're married. I had my friends, and they are believers, they are pastors also today. And we used to just hang out, share God's word, pray, and all of that. You know, we just pray, you know, share. And then we loved one another. We did all things together. And then lo and behold, I was married. And I remember one of the evenings, I wanted to just step out, just stroll out, go and meet my friend. He was living in the next street. We'll just talk, share. You know, there's a way we exalt one another and all of that. And we'll be edified. And my wife said, you're not going anywhere. I don't know if she remembers that. Amen. She said, you're not going anywhere. I said, no, but I am free. He said, now you don't understand. You're no longer, somebody owns you. You're not free. I said, but can't I go out? That I just want to see my friend. I will just talk. I'll come back. He said, you're not going anywhere. Sweetheart, you're not going anywhere. Amen. 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 You know, if you want to be the man, the African man, what are you saying? What are you saying? Somebody cannot do what he wants to do. No, you can't do what you want to do. So, but I learned, you know, from, you know, examples that I've seen, I had to sit down. I said, okay, if you said I'm not going anywhere, I sat down. Okay, so what are we going to be doing? I asked her, what are we going to be? She said, let's just be looking at one another. I said, is that what we're going to be doing? Just looking at one another? That sounds boring. Because actually at that time, there was nothing to talk about because I've already gone out to see my friend. So I was meant to stay back, even though I was in the house. My body was inside the house, but my soul has already gone out. And then, so there was no topic to talk about that time, but I had to just sit down. I know somebody will look at that and say, so that means your wife commands you. Stay there. That's your, not just your sister. That is you. That is you.
is not just yours. You know, there's a way you will look at her as another person. No, that's you. I won't forget those seasons. Sweetheart, can I talk a little bit? Just don't be angry with me. You know, I love, sometimes we'll just, you know, I learned, okay, we'll sit together with gist. And then she wants us to play game. You know, she doesn't like watching movies. I like watching movie. If you put movie, she will sleep off. So I like watching movie. She doesn't like watching movie, but she wants us to play, you know, something to do something together. And for board games, I like chess. I play chess. Amen. But she likes Ludo. There is nothing as annoying. To sit down and roll a die and then toss it and then count 1, 2, 3, 4. Amen. That was death for me. That was the beginning of my death. That was death for me because that rubbished everything about my arrangement. To sit down and be playing Ludo. I wasn't even a chess master. I just play chess. But to be counting, you roll die and then you reach home. Then when a sicky one, sicky two. I'm like, what on earth? What a boring game to play. But I had to play it. Amen. Amen. You know why I'm sharing this with you? That is where love actually begins. You know, I could insist, if you can't play chess, there's nothing we can play. She doesn't play chess. If you can't play, if you can't watch movie, there's nothing we can. But I had to come to that, meet her at the point where she is. Now, that's what Jesus did for us. He came down. That's why he said, that you love one another as I have loved you. So when you hear him say, that's where I stopped last week. We should look into one another's. Because love does not insist on his own. Love is not self-centered. Because you can be self-centered in marriage, you will never do God's will. In fact, marriage is to strip you of self. Your own. You know that my own. My own. No, you don't do that in marriage. That marriage will not exude, will not represent what God has in mind for marriage. So like I said, Jesus showed us how he loved us. What game can you play in the spirit? Their game is love. High love.
High love.
High love. You can't love like the Godhead loves. Not yet, but we'll get there. Amen. Their desire is that we love like that. Amen. But they are patient with you. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying.
Yes, sir.
So in loving, I have to be patient. I had to come down to that level and sit down and be patient. Those days were like rubbishing my, I don't know how to put it. If it was reading, I like reading. I will read and I will enjoy reading. But to sit down, I used to, I'm sorry, I used to see playing Ludo as just making your mind. I would rather watch cartoon. It's like making your mind redundant, because at that moment your mind is not useful. Amen. If you play chess, you know that chess, you have to think. You have to observe. You have to plan. You're looking at the board, but your mind is already plotting what you're going to do. So when you're giving a pawn, you know why you're giving you're seeding that pawn for your opponent to take, because you have a plan. It's a war strategy. And then you just roll a die and toss it. And then wait for it to fall anywhere it falls. Then you pick one thing, and then you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Huh. Amen. Hallelujah. You also played Ludo, right? Amen. I'm sure I'm touching something today. So the Lord had to condescend. The Lord came down. So His love, you won't understand it without the revelation of His person. So God is love. When you say God, I said it, that was on Wednesday. I said that word G-O-D is a generic name. If there's anything that they say He is love. Amen. That's if you want to call Him God. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus. What is His nature? What is His essence? His essence is love. His love from beginning to the end. And now let me tell you, when you see charity, which we are discussing, we've been talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Charity. Can you say charity?
Charity
is the love commandment that is given to man to win man. That is not the love commandment that God Himself, the Godhead, they keep.
Wow.
No, that's not. They are higher than charity.
Wow.
You see all the things they mention here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13? No, that's not. This is lower than what God Himself keeps. Because God is His eternal love. Eternal love. So that word unconditional, loving unconditionally, you still don't even understand it. You know what it means to love people who rejected you? Now, I know many of us in life, we faced rejection. We faced being despised. We faced all kinds of things. And so you just naturally shrink back from anywhere where you are not accepted. Because you don't have that capacity yet, but He wants you to have that capacity. So charity, He gave you, first of all, charity. I said charity is for, because charity is love. But it's love at a level. In fact, that is where really you begin to practice. That's where you exercise your muscles. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
I know there is love commandment in milk. Amen.
Amen.
I think I was teaching it on Tuesday, that the end of every commandment, because commandment is life. Jesus said, I know that His commandments are life everlasting. So when the Father gave Jesus commandment, what He was actually teaching Jesus is how to last. If you love my brother, you will last. You want to last? Just love. Just trust God for grace to practice, exercise your soul to love. You will last. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Let me just touch it. I think I stopped somewhere. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, quickly. Amen. Okay, let's look at verse 5. We've talked about charity suffered long, charity is kind, charity endured not, charity vaunted not itself, charity is not puffed up. Then verse 5, he said, doth not behave itself unseemly, that is to behave itself rudely, seeketh not her own, and is not easily provoked. So, charity is not self-seeking. Amen. Love is not self-seeking. And don't think you understand what they are saying there. Don't just think, because they have to reveal to you even when you are self-seeking. Sometimes you might be doing some things and you are not aware. You know, you can be doing some things, you're not aware. You know why you're not aware? Because of ignorance. Because of blindness. So they need to reveal to you where you are self-seeking. You know, in marriage, you can be self-seeking. Of course, that's where they reveal how selfish we are. Man is really selfish. What I mean man, I'm talking about mankind, both man and woman, we are really selfish. But is there, they begin to show you how selfish you are. And then they might show you and then you've seen, okay, this is what they call selfishness. When you have something, share it. Then what you're doing is that you're not being selfish when you share. That's just the beginning. But self-seeking is much more than that. Amen. Insisting on your own is self-seeking. Let me touch something that I would have rather not touched, but because we are here, you know, we are many. You know, by the time couples are being joined together, you say, with this ring, I thee wed, my body I give to you. Did you get that? Those of you who are not married, you won't understand that. What you are saying before God as a pledge, as a vow, as a covenant, is that from that day, you don't own your own body. The person who owns your body is your... I think there's something about marriage. Marriage actually brings out the love covenant or the love commandment very well. Because love for many is just feeling. I feel good. So you're high when you feel good. So when you don't feel good, and when you are married, there are many days that you will not feel good. But whether you feel good or you don't feel good, keep commandments.
Obey God.
Whether you feel good or you don't feel good, obey God. Because your obedience to God is not dependent on how you feel. How you feel is inconsequential. If it was how Jesus felt like, he wouldn't go to the cross. Because he went to the Father and said, if there is any way, this thing can be waived. But I want to do your will. How I feel right now is, I don't want to go to this cross. I know you can do everything, Father. Find another way to make this thing pass. But he got himself his commandments. At the point he said, my soul is sorrowful unto death. But what shall I say now? Father, deliver me. But for this reason I was born. And to this end I live. I came not to do my will, but the will of he that sent me. And the will of he that sent me is that I must love my own and love them to the end.
Aye.
To love them to the end is to love them to the point of losing my life. So when you say, my body I yield to you. If you're not ready for that, don't marry. Just stay on your own and just be loving brethren. Amen. That's still some love somewhere. But whether you like it or not, they will still get you to the point where you will have to. But when you come to marriage, in fact, I used to see marriage as what they did in marriage is that they helped your soul and gave you a crash program. It's a crash program. Because there, you must love. You know, there's a way you can. Amen. Amen. I hope you're being blessed. I want to reach everybody, both those who are here for the first time and those who are here. You know, there's a way that when we are friends, I can, when you trouble me too much, I can find a way to avoid you. But when we wake up every day and we see one another, and then you are not, because you must obey. You see this 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you must do that in your marriage. If you don't do that, you're not doing the will of God. Forget about it. You're not doing God's will. You must not be self-seeking. You must not insist on your own. That this is the way I want it. This is my right. This is my right. This is my money. My money is my money. Your money is our money. Now that's self-seeking. You know, there's some people uphold that. Why did you marry me? The sister said, why did you marry me? I didn't marry you to spend money. It's not for money. It's to do the will of God. Amen. Amen. Sisters, don't be angry with me. Because in there you said, my body I yield to you and with all my worldly goods. Because that's what you're... So I don't know where they now got my money is my money, your money is our money. But you said, oh, with all my worldly goods. You know, you can give your worldly goods and not give your body. It's more difficult to give your body than to give your worldly goods. So, that love in marriage, I'm talking about marriage, dissolves. In fact, that's where they begin to attack all those self-seeking, all those things. It's in marriage that they will really unveil to you who you are. You don't know who you are. Everybody calls you nice guy. Everybody calls you loving sister. Your heart is golden. We would love to see it in submission. Amen. Hallelujah. So let me say this. We've said it over and over again, but love, the real love, love the God's way comes by obeying his commandment, not feeling. And what is commandment in the New Testament? Understanding. So they make you understand. They show you what they are doing. The Father loved the Son and showed him whatsoever he doeth. What do you think the Father was showing the Son? The tabernacle? What was the Father showing the Son? The arrangement of the tabernacle, the arrangement of the heavenlies, the arrangement of the cherubs. Not basically. What the Father was showing the Son was what the Father himself is by essence. The Father is love. Can I say something to us? There is, you know what? Thank God for our Lord Jesus. What he did actually was to interpret an eternal love. Nobody would have understood who God is. Nobody would have understood what God is and what God does without the Son. Are you following what I'm saying? Without Jesus, we would not have been able to know. So what would have just known is how they know him in the Torah. With all the, you know, the judgments and stone him if he does this, we would not have done. But Jesus came and he is a revelation of the love of God. So I put it this way. There is nothing that Jesus was doing that the Father didn't show him. So when Jesus was going to the cross, the Father was going to the cross. You never thought of that? When Jesus hung on the cross, the Father was hanging on the cross. It's the Father that showed him. What is he showing him? Whatsoever he doeth. I know you're saying, are you saying the Father was the one who was crucified? No, in time, but in eternity, the Father, everything you see Jesus doing in time was what the Father, he saw the Father doing. You don't believe this. As he was going to the cross, the person who was also going to the cross was the Father. The Father showed him, this is what I'm doing right now. We are going to die. Did you get that? I want you to see deeply. I know there's a picture we have. The picture we have about the whole matter is that God sent his Son to die and was watching him. I was just sitting on the throne and then watching the Son die. That's good enough for us to know that he could have saved him, but he refused to save him. But I want you to see it differently. I want you to see that whatever was happening there, the Father was involved. The Father was also dying. Oh, you don't see that. The Father was also dying. It wasn't only the Son that was dying. The Father was dying. Why? Because he said, the Father loved the Son and showed him whatsoever he doeth. So there was something the Father was doing. At every point in time, whenever you see the Son do anything, it's not different from what the Father was doing. When the Son opened not his mouth before Pilate, that was exactly what the Father was doing. When the Son gave his back to be beaten for you to be healed by his stripes, that was exactly what the Father was doing. Oh, you think the Father didn't feel pain? You think the Father didn't feel pain? Now let me ask you, those of you who are fathers, how many of you will see your child going through pain and you're not going through that pain with him? And for all of you are fathers here. You even face the pain more. Because there's a way you feel it. The child is feeling it on the physical body, but you're feeling it in your soul. Yes. I want you to understand what the Father went through. That is more painful when you're feeling it in the soul. Physical body, yes. But the soul, when the Father was giving up his Son for the Son to be slain, you need to understand, if they show you the heart of the Father at that time, that this was not easy. But his configuration is love. He has to release the Son. That is why Jesus said, he won't release the Holy Ghost like that. I have to beg him. Because when he released the Son, you guys did whatsoever you desired to him. He will not release the Holy Ghost until I beg him. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. Just see the father. I want to show you father. See the father as Jacob. And then Joseph had gone. You know, Joseph was feeling pain. But you know, the father felt pain for years. That's what I'm trying to show you. That the father was feeling, our heavenly father was feeling pain when he released Jesus. He felt pain for years. In fact, the Bible said he refused to be comforted. He refused to be, you know, there's a way you agree to be comforted. The father, Jacob refused to be comforted. And then, eventually, here was Benjamin. That was the Holy Ghost. He kept him and said, I'm not letting him go. They said, we will all die here if we don't release the Holy Ghost. We've all repented from what we did, but we need Benjamin to go with us. Judah is held in prison because we told them that we are children of one father. And the king is requesting for our last born. That's just a typology of the Holy Ghost. Jacob refused. He said, if you take this one, then I will just go to the grave with sorrow. That his brother has been taken. You people should leave this one for me. Amen. But you know, he had to take Judah. He had to take praise to plead with the father. In fact, what Judah did that day was, I think he got it by revelation. He told the father, he said, I don't know who was it that was kept. It was Judah that was begging. Simeon was kept. Judah said, if anything happens to him, let the curse be on me and upon my children. Are you seeing conversation? That was the only thing that made the father say, okay. And it was good that Benjamin went. And it was when Benjamin came that there was a revelation. Woo! So when the Holy Ghost came, there came a revelation. So we need the Holy Ghost for revelation. What is being revealed? The love of the Father. How we ought to love. Amen. You can't love without the Holy Ghost. So I'm talking about self-seeking. So love is not self-seeking. Please give me that place quickly. It's not self-seeking and is not easily provoked. Can you say easily provoked? Can you give it to me in King James? I mean, amplified version. Amplified version, quickly. It is not rude, it's not self-seeking, it's not provoked, nor overly sensitive and easily angered. Another translation say is not irritable. You know, you irritate me. You know, husbands, spouse, they say this to each other, you're irritating me. Amen. Let me say this to you for all of you who are married and those who want to get married. When you marry boboe. You marry everything. Just understand, you're marrying the past, the present, the future. And when you are giving your body, you're giving everything. Hey, hey. He understands what I'm saying. You know, some of us are so clean, you know, it's too clean, too clean. There's a way we want things to be arranged. There's a way you want things to be arranged. And then you got somebody who does not care how things are arranged. I'm touching some sensitive places, you know. There are some of us that want things to be arranged. The table should be here, then this one should be there, and then this one should be here, and don't disarrange it, and then you got a spouse. It could be a sister, it could be a brother, and then the person does not know how to arrange something. He comes out and the shoe is flung one side and the cloth is on top of the chair and you know, all everywhere scattered. Amen. Amen. Now, can I say something to you? If you don't understand what love is, you might say, but I used to arrange it, then he would disarrange it. I arrange it. How long am I going to do that? Love suffered long. And it's kind in the midst of it. Now, what you are arranging, amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? What you are arranging is what you scattered. Is you who scattered it. You see that socks is your socks, sister. That wig that is on top of the couch is your wig, brother. Am I preaching real good this morning? It's your own. This is what I'm saying. The problem is that you've not yet seen her as yourself. You're still seeing her as another person. So whatever she's doing or whatever he's doing, he's always against me. She's always against me. This is how I will keep this. Then, you know, there's a whole lot to be talked about here. May God just reveal to you how to love. Amen. You need capacity to love.
Yes, sir.
You need training to love.
Yes, sir. Capacity.
When you married, you also married all manner of things. You know her farting or his farting. You know some men, we can fart. Amen. Amen. That's why you are called saints. Amen. And some of you are high saints. You know what I mean? Saints. I remember counseling a couple. They are not here, so don't begin to look okay. Who is it? I remember counseling a couple. The problem was saints. Odor. Not just that of farting, but the odor. And the person is sensitive to smell. I said, if you're sensitive to smell, do something about it, because there is nothing. The person, that's your own. You see, that body is your body. When you say, my body, I yield to you. And he said, his body, he yields to you. That, as a matter of fact, that his body belongs to you. That her body belongs to you as a man. So if you are smell sensitive, you are sensitive to smell, do something about it. Bypass. Byrolon. Get something that will, the way you want your body to be smelling. Get it. Go out of your way. Look for something. You know, because that's what love does. I'm just touching the practical things about it. Go out of your, don't complain. Go look for what to do. Amen. Hallelujah. What am I saying? Do something about it yourself. Not necessarily your spouse. Don't just complain about it. You go do something about it. Go buy the perfume. Go look for it. How you want your wife to look like? You know, you want her to make up? Go buy it. You want her to dress in a particular way? Go buy it. Especially for us men, because we have eyes. We have eyes. But we are not ready to tend to our garden. Amen. She is your garden. I hope you know that. From today, as you're married, she is your garden, and you're supposed to tend to your garden. So how you want her to look like, and then you are also her garden. So you can't say, no, this is how I want to dress. No, sure, you have two. I dress for myself. Sometimes we argue over dressing, and at the end of the day, we yield to one another. How she wants me to dress, I'll dress like that. If she says this is not good, I have to yield. If I tell her this one, I don't like it, she has to. Amen.
Amen.
Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let me move on. Amen. Because there's a whole lot around here, and this is not marriage seminar. Amen. I'm just teaching you love. Amen. Praise God. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Now, that word thinketh no evil in Amplified, it said, does not take account of wrong that has been done to him. Now, this is one place that marriage begins to have friction. And that's why we always say that marriage is meant for two good forgivers. You know, to be a good forgiver is to forgive and not remember. Somebody said, no, how can I forgive and not remember? I remember somebody said, am I going to, because the ability to remember something is inside my brain. Am I going to cut out that part of me to forgive, like God forgives and said, your iniquities will I remember no more. So it means that forgiveness is supernatural. You will have grace to forgive like that.
Amen.
To not remember. Now, if you keep account, you will remember. But love does not keep account. Now, if love does not keep account, then it means love does also not make reference to it. You know, like you did it yesterday. That was exactly the same thing you did yesterday. And you asked me to forgive you. All this you're begging for forgiveness does not mean anything. You won't change. You won't change.
Sorry does not mean anything. Sorry does not mean anything.
Amen. Now when you say love, can you say charity, which is love, which is in Christ, does not keep account of a wrong endured. He has endured that wrong. So it's not just a wrong that was done once. It's for you to endure something, it means it has been done over and over again. And then you've endured it. You don't keep account of that endurance. How you, I endured. No, you forget it. And there is power to do that. That is why I'm talking about Christ. Christ is the power to forgive and not remember. If you don't use Christ, you will remember. He does not rejoice at injustice, but rejoices with the truth. When right and truth prevails, that is what makes love rejoice. Love does not rejoice when there is injustice. When there is wrong being afflicted or subversion of justice, love does not rejoice. But it rejoices when justice prevails. Because love must do something that is just. Amen. Because God is just. So God likes justice. If you read through the scripture, you see it, you do judgment, you do justice and judgment. Judgment is always with justice. That's love. Love beareth all things. But here in Amplified, they say love bears all things. In my own translation in Amplified, it said love bears up. Under anything. Regardless of what comes. Love bears up. Under anything and everything that comes. That's what it means that love beareth all things. Love bears up. Can you say up?
Up.
Meaning love is able to stand up and not be discouraged. In the face of anything that comes. Is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Believe the best of every person. Now I will say this. For those of you who are married, start it with your spouse. Believe the best. Believe the best of your spouse. If you're not married, believe the best of your brother. But you don't say, okay, this is for married people. No. As a single, you can believe the best of your brother. You know how somebody comes and tells you something about your brother? Something you know that is damaging or that will damage your reputation. And he just wants you to add something. But you're supposed to believe the best. In believing the best, you're supposed to speak good of your brother. Oh, that's really not him. That thing you're talking, that's really not him. Probably he was under pressure. You know that sometimes you can be under pressure and then you act. Oh, that's really not him. Love will make excuses. Now, let me show you. You know, I can make excuses for somebody who I am at par with. About somebody who has offended me. Have caused me harm, and then went to offend somebody, and the person brought the matter to me. Amen. I'm painting a picture to you. What at that moment, please be sensitive. At that moment, what they want you to do is to break love code. You might not see it like that. You'll be saying, but that's what he does all the time. You know, there's a way you can see it. Well, that's him, oh. That's him. That's him. God will help us. We've been managing him. Let's shall just be praying for him. He has offended you, and it offended somebody, and the person brought the matter to you. At that moment, choose to archive a good conversation. Do the right thing. Don't speak. I will always say, if you don't know what to say, don't say anything. It's not wrong if you don't say anything. And you must learn not to say something all the time. You're not CNN. You know, breaking news. The breaking news. You must not say anything. Now, let's come to husband and wife. Somebody comes and tells you this, that. About your spouse. You're supposed to defend your spouse. Now, you won't be able to defend your spouse if you don't believe the best. You have to believe the best of your spouse. Believe. Because that's what they say in here. What does it read that place for me and Amplified again? Love. Yeah. Under anything and everything. Okay. Is ever ready. I love that. Ever ready to believe the best of everybody, every person. Kai, I want to be like that, sir. I don't know about you, but I want to be like that. Ever ready to believe the best of anybody, everybody. Even some of your politicians. I think that's where some of us fail. I'm still trusting God to be able to walk in love towards our politicians. If they save me there, if redemption happens to me there, it will just remain small for me to be perfect. Amen. I don't know if it's like that for you. Maybe I'm the greatest sinner here. Because they... Amen. See, I want to say something now, so let me not... Let me believe the best about them. Amen. Let me believe the best about them. I need strength to keep these commandments. And sometimes the strength to keep the commandment might require that you don't listen to those news. Those breaking news, some of those things, just take your eyes away from it. In fact, let me tell you something. For you to be able to do that, you have to be looking up steadily.
Get news from there.
How sometimes I have to discipline myself is I tell myself, here we have no continuing city. We seek for that to come. So that I can take my eyes, when you see me quoting that, is to help my soul take my eyes away from whatever they are doing so that I can believe the best. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Then what again? Hope at all things. Read it for me in Amplified. Okay. Okay. Love faileth not. Can you say love faileth not? Or love never fails. Kai. Pastor, that's powerful. If they tell you that this thing does not fail, what will you do? You have to choose it. You have to anchor on that. You want that thing that, you want that, you want principles that don't fail.
Yes, sir.
Like you want to make an investment, they tell you this investment does not fail. What will you do? You invest everything. You invest your life if you're not careful. You put all everything you have into it. Why? Because it has security. It's fireproof. He said, love faileth not, never fades out or becomes obsolete or come to an end. I like this description. Love just keeps on loving. Love does not have an end. In fact, the more love loves, the more it becomes better. Amen. Love is like wine on the lees. The more it loves, the more it becomes better. So it loves and love and crosses into love. So let's take it from milk dimension of God's word. Love in milk dimension of God's word. Loves and loves and loves and loves until it graduates to the love which is in Christ. And will love and love and graduates to everlasting love. And also love unto eternal love. That's the realm of God. That's the realm of God. There you will now see, oh, this love is a person. So everything I've been doing is a person. So you can now understand. Be ye imitators of God. Are you seeing it? Imitate God. So by the time you get to eternal love and discover that everything about him, all his arrangement is love. So what has been doing? Love has been calling me. Love has been beckoning on me. Every commandment that is given to me at every junction, at every level, is to come to the finality of the person who is called love. And I'll just see him and I'll I'm like him. How did I become like him? He gave me commandments and I kept them. I kept keeping them. As I was keeping them, I was changing. I was changing until I have embodied all of him. And then at his unveiling, and that is eternal state, I'm just looking exactly like him. Then he can say, that's my only begotten. You know, there's only begotten. That's a state. Amen. Praise God. Amen. 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 There's the beloved, but there's also the begotten, but there's the only begotten. That's the eternal state of sonship. When you come into that state, I know that in theology you say the only begotten is our Lord Jesus. And then all of us are subsidiaries of the only begotten. No, the only begotten is a state. There's a point where the Father said, this is my beloved Son. So beloved Son is also a state. Anyone who journeys into it will also become a beloved Son. So there's also another level after beloved Son. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Begotten Son. Today have I begotten you. So if you journey to the point of being begotten, you will become begotten Son. All of that is in love. Amen. Is in love program. Amen. Then there's a state of being the only begotten. Amen. When you reach that state, you will also become the only begotten. It's a state. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Love faileth not. Then he began to talk about other things. As for prophecy, the gift of interpretation, of interpreting divine will and purpose, it will be fulfilled and pass away. Is it not what happens? Amen. It will come to fulfillment and will pass away. It will fulfill its purpose. It will be fulfilled and it will pass away. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and the seas. Now, that's not tongues and interpretation. Amen. Because tongues and interpretation, tongues plus interpretation equals to prophecy. So that's prophecy. So when it's talking about tongues here, it's talking about something else. It's not tongues as in tongues and interpretation. Did you get that?
Yes, sir.
For tongues, it will cease. But here, he said for tongues, what will happen to it? They will be destroyed and cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. It will lose its value and be superseded by truth. What is truth? Love. The nature of God is truth. Did you get that? What did I say? Love, the nature of God is true. Love is true. Love is the true nature. That's the true nature. Love or charity, which is love at the dimension of Christ, does not fail. Now, I love that does not fail. Somebody say, does not fail in what? Does not fail in exams? No. Does not fail in investment? No. It doesn't fail in life expression. Nothing can conquer love. Nothing can conquer love. It can go through any test you put it through. It will not fail. And can I go further? Love, charity will not fail in getting everlasting life. That's really where you count whether something can fail. Every other thing can fail when it comes to archiving everlasting life, stretching forth into everlasting life. Any other thing you come with, any other nature you come with will fail. But charity does not fail. That's how you know how strong charity is. So every other thing will fail, but it does not fail. Now, just give me the last verse quickly, the next verse. For our knowledge, so you begin to show us why knowledge will also pass away. Our knowledge is fragmentary, incomplete, and imperfect. Our prophecy or teaching, because teaching is also prophecy, preaching majorly is prophecy in a way, amen. I'm not teaching you Bible school, so you will not, if I'm to take it that way, it will take me a longer time, is also incomplete and imperfect. Then go further, verse 10. But when the complete and perfect total comes, the incomplete and imperfect will vanish away, become antiquated, void, and superseded. When that which is complete. So what's that which completes? Or that which is complete? What is that which is complete? Can I hear you say it? Can you say love? Say it again with me, love. Meaning love is what, that's why it's called the bond of perfectness. Meaning the bond of completeness. When love is, when you can get to love in any realm, as I was explaining to the Peace to Life, when you can get to love in any realm, it's bond of perfection in that realm. It's when you get to that bond of perfection that you can cross to the next. It's also, and then you do it, and then you come to his perfectness. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Love does not fail. And if I may just add this, do you want to live a life that does not fail? Walk in love. Amen. What did I say? Do you want to live a life that does not fail? Walk in love towards your, if you're married, walk in love towards your spouse. Walk in love towards one another. You won't fail. You will do well. I pray for you today. I say you will not fail. Amen. You will not fail in the place of loving. Amen. I want to hear you say a good amen. Amen. I said you will not fail in the place of loving one another. Amen. You will not fail in the place of loving your spouse. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You will come into deeper understanding, deeper revelation of what the love of God is. Amen. I love that Ephesians chapter 3 said that we might comprehend with all the saints what is the length, the height, the breadth, the width, and that we may know the love of God that passeth. So there's a love that supersedeth knowledge. Or that passeth understanding, so that we can be filled with all the fullness of God. I say you'll be filled with the fullness of God. The key is love. Can you just keep walking in love? And just keep doing love. And just keep doing love. And just keep doing love. And never be weary in doing love. Just continue loving. No matter how you feel, decide I'm going to walk in love. There are men who have done that in their walk with God, and we know the results. Men like Kenneth Hagin, that ministry is an ever-increasing ministry. You could see the amount of God in that ministry. You could see the amount of God in that life. You know why? Because if he discovered it and made up his mind from the beginning that whether anybody does or not, I have made up my mind, I will walk in love. I also saw that with our reverend. That's our daddy, Reverend Oyegoke. Okay. You know, mommy is a love. Both she will do it and teach you very well about love. But that's the... If you go close to them, that's actually their life code. When you see daddy teaching and he's teaching about mysteries of this, mysteries of that, all of that, you know there's a way you can be carried away with that. Wow. I've just caught revelation. The essence of that revelation, it will bring you back to love. If you go to him, you will see love. He does not stop loving. And I'm praying for you. Amen.
Amen.
You will find strength to walk in love.
Amen.
I'm also praying for our couples today. You will find strength to love one another.
Amen.
Let me say this to you. Love, I was telling somebody, I said, what they need to do to overcome Satan is to love one another. Love yourselves to pieces. Because whether you like it or not, you have an adversary, and what is his end game? He doesn't want anybody's marriage to succeed. And don't think your own is exceptional. He's going to fight from every angle. But you can make up your mind that we will love. Whether I feel or I don't feel, I will obey God. And obeying God means I will not insist on my own. I will seek for the good of the other. That is the will of God. And if you do that, if you keep doing that, you see, Satan will not have any inroad into your union. Me, I know how to pursue Satan away. In my marriage, he knows we've wrestled. Amen. And he comes several times. I know how to put him afar. I'll go further in loving. I'll go another mile in loving. I'll do extra in loving. And if I'm failing, I'll ask God for strength. I'll ask God for strength to love more. Amen.
Amen.
And as you do that, you'll discover that Satan will not be able to come in between the two of you. And then at the end of the day, you would have, in the days of your flesh, you would have done the will of God, and you will inherit the promise. I say you will inherit the promise.
Amen.
There's a promise to this. There's a promise to this. You will inherit the promise. In the name of Jesus, I said, none of you that is listening to me, none of you that is listening to me, none of you that is under the influence of my voice will fail in the place of love. I know sometimes we can be weak. The Lord will strengthen you. In the name of Jesus, I said, the Lord will strengthen you. And cause you to stand. Even if you make mistake, return back. I must do love. I must do love. You know, you don't be discouraged when you make mistake in this walk. When you make mistake, recollect yourself because it's a warfare. Amen. I know one day the Lord was showing me something, an example. He said, when you see somebody who is wearing white, you know, like my sister is dressed in white, maybe I'm dressed in white agbada and I'm going for a function. And then probably the floor, you know, this, our Lagos roads, some of them are very, really, very bad. And then you slipped and then you fell into, you know, we're having rainy season. You fell into the muddy water and you just sat down there and you just said, in fact, I'm tired of this journey. I am canceling it. I'm not going for this function again. In fact, look at how road is. Look at what has gone wrong. Look at my life. This is the end. I'm just going to sit here. No, it's good you fell. Let me put it this way. It's not good you fell. But it's bad that you fell and remain there. In fact, at some point, when you're there, people who are passing will say, Hey, sorry. Ah, look at your white. Everything has been soiled. Oh yeah, get up. Say, I'm not getting up. You say something is wrong with it. Get up. You say, I'm not getting up. This is the end. This is where I'm not doing again. People will gather around you. What they will do for you is to take you to Yaba left because something has gone wrong. Because nobody falls and sits down where he has fallen. You rise from there. That's how it also is in the things of the spirit. We are learning to walk and we will walk. We may fall, but we will stand and do the right thing. I may make mistake, but I will rise up again and I will do the will of God. And no matter, because the righteous falls, you're allowed to fall 7 times. But don't remain there. Rise up again. In your love work, decide, no matter how much I fail, I will rise up and I'll do the right thing. I'll keep exercising myself in love until I gain the muscles to love like God loves. I'll keep exercising myself in love until I love like God does.
Yeah.
It's possible to love like God does. And that's why he's emphasizing this to us. You can actually walk in love. You know, love does not fail. What's the another person that does not fail? God. So it means when you do love, you become like God that does not fail. Are you blessed today? Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the blessing of your body. Your body that you gave for us. As we break it today, Lord, with thanksgiving, I'm asking our Father that, Lord, we will not just partake of it ordinarily, but, Lord, in its true essence and in its power, and, Lord, in the life that is meant to be given, I ask that everything that your body stands for will be ministered to your people. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we receive the body of your son Jesus with thanksgiving. Thank you for strength will be ministered to bodies. Thank you for healing will be ministered to bodies. In the name of Jesus, thank you because upliftment will be ministered to bodies. In the name of Jesus, and much more, our souls will not remain where we are. Strength to walk in love. Strength to love as you love. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you also for the cup, which is the New Testament in your blood. I'm asking that everyone who would partake of this, Lord, indeed, the life of the New Testament will begin to find expression.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. The love of the New Testament will begin to find expression in the name of Jesus. I said the love of the New Testament, which is the life of the New Testament, will begin to find expression in our homes, in our relationships, in our marriages, in the name of Jesus. Let this life find full expression in the name of Jesus. Let it bring healing wherever healing is needed in our body. Let it bring healing wherever healing is needed in our souls. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. We give God praise. Amen.
We trust you have been blessed by this message. For more inquiries, please visit www.nlwc.church or call +234 816 236 6700. You can also contact us through WhatsApp on +234 803 688 4759. God bless you. It's the Lord.